Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It is such a privilege to be up here sharing the word with you. It is my third Mother's Day. And I was looking back, and my first Mother's Day, I shared with you virtually. My second Mother's Day, we dedicated Levi. Now my third Mother's Day, I'm sharing. So who knows what's going to happen next year? Don't get any ideas. But I'm just saying God has a pattern. But no. I want to enjoy my two boys right now. So I was asked to share, actually, I'll give you a bit of background story. Pastor Jack was supposed to share. And Pastor Machin asked me, oh, when is Pastor Jack sharing? I said, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da. He's actually sharing on Mother's Day. I should have kept my mouth shut. But the pastor said, no, Amy, you share Mother's Day. I was like, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, you can go. But I truly count it a privilege. And it's actually, I'll tell you, it's much harder to prepare a message with two young children than it is with one. It's also, this message took me a while to do. I could normally do it quite quick, but I think Holy Spirit was also like speaking to me and just saying like, don't rush it. Don't rush these things because, you know, I have something in store for every one of us. And so I think most of you would know that my topic is a heart that pleases God. And I was pondering, what should I actually share about a heart that pleases God? And a bit of background story as to how Zion was also here to sing as well. Pastor Machin, during one of our Sunday sessions, she said, oh, Zion, are you going to sing for Mother's Day? And he said, yes. And I said, oh, great. In my head, I was thinking, okay. So, and the pastor goes, what song are you going to sing? And I said out loud, please not Zacchaeus. Please not Zacchaeus. That has been ringing in my head for like, I think, months on end now. And Zion went, Zacchaeus! And I went, oh. And actually, Pastor Machin, she came and she said, you know what? Zacchaeus is actually a very good song to be sung. Because I think we skip through it and it's a Sunday school story to each and every one of us. But there actually is a deeper message behind it. And we can see that like Zacchaeus, he had everything in the world. But what did he do? He humbled himself. And he came in true repentance, not half-hearted. He came in like true full repentance. And I was just like, oh, wow, like, I'm sorry, God, for being too familiar most of the times. Like, I've heard Zacchaeus so many times. I've seen it so many times on YouTube now. There's a 15-minute video that Zion loves, and he calls it the bad Zacchaeus, because Zacchaeus is like... but truly, I was actually thinking, and Zacchaeus actually did have a heart that pleased God. And so that's the title for my message today, A Heart That Pleases God. So you'll find that with my scriptures, I've done the color coding as well. And hopefully it makes it much clearer to you as I've done it. It does take a bit of time, but I'm happy to do it as long as you each receive it with an open heart and with joyfully receive it. So let's get into it. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And it says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was cha-ching rich. This is the modern version. Cha-ching rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed into a sycamore tree to see him. Has anyone ever climbed a tree before? Yeah, it's pretty hard, right? No, it's pretty hard. Okay, for a short lady here, it's quite hard for me, but for the tall ones, maybe it's not so hard. But Zacchaeus was of short stature, so it was hard for him, okay? And he was going because Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, or the sycamore tree, he looked up and he saw him. He saw him. That's Zacchaeus. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say on Mother's Day. He didn't say on Father's Day. He didn't say on Easter. He said today. And so he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. How great would that be if someone takes something and they say, I'm going to restore fourfold? I'll take that. And Jesus said to him, today. He didn't say on Father's Day. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say like a week from now. He said today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, my message today, I'm going to share with you some obstacles that Zacchaeus presented or had, or even sometimes we have in our life. And what is the answer? And I think we all know who the answer is, but I want to go a bit deeper, a bit further into that. So, number one, the first obstacle is pride. Pride. It is described as the greatest sin. It means I'm excessively self-focused on myself and I'm self-elevating. It's my own importance. It's my own achievements. It's my own status. It's my own possessions. It's all about me, 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 a me. And you can say in all of this that Zacchaeus was actually quite a proud man. You know, in the beginning of the story, you could say he was a proud man. He had everything. He had a house. He had money. He had clothes. He had exotic foods. He probably even had caviar back in those days. He gained all of this through his self-effort. He probably had all the camels in the world. I don't think he was riding on jet skis back then. Everything he had, it was based on his self. And I'll put it in today's term, to be a chief tax collector in today's terms means he would have had to work very hard to get there. It means he would have had to have his bachelor's degree. It means he would have had to have his MBA. It means he would be maybe a fellow of the tax institute. Maybe he had his CPA. Maybe he had his CA. He had every degree and qualification imaginable. Think about it. He had everything, but he really had nothing. He really had nothing. And you know, Charles Spurgeon, he actually described pride as an all-pervading sin. He said, pride is so natural to fallen man that it springs up in his heart like weeds in a well-watered garden. Its very touch is evil. You may hunt down this fox and you think you've destroyed it, but L-O, okay? Your very exaltation is pride. None have more pride than those who dream that they have nothing. Pride is a sin with 1,000 lives. It seems impossible to kill it. But there is an answer. We'll get to that later. Charles Spurgeon, he also said that, let us measure ourselves by our master or our creator and not by our fellow servants or fellow man. Because then, if we measure it by our creator, our master, pride will be impossible because we are nothing. We are absolutely nothing. You think that this message is all doom and gloom, but don't worry. There is hope at the end. I'm just making sure you're all listening. So pride, you know, the verses that we have here in pride is talking about, I think we all know it so, so well. James 4 verse 6, it says, but he gives more grace. And therefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What a great promise that God has given us his grace, his unmerited favor to the humble. And that all depends on our heart attitude, whether we really come to God with a heart of humility and say, God, I really have nothing. Everything that I have has been because of my self-effort, because of my soul man, or Watchman Nee also says, my outer man, my outer man, Ayola, no one gets it. Ayah. everything that we have done, we can seem to have done it all, but it's actually our soul effort, the soul power that's actually pushing us through and actually making us do it. But God's saying, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. In 1 Peter, it says, 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6, it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You see what it says? It says he may exalt you, not when you will be exalted, when men go, oh, da, 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 da. Because man's words are empty. Man's praise are empty. And the only opinion that we should be really seeking for is the opinion of God, our Creator. And I love what Charles Spurgeon was saying, that if we compare ourselves to God, our Creator, we like that's our measuring point. We will never have a heart of pride, because what are we to God? He is our everything. Matthew 18, verse 1 to 4, it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And you know, like you could put this in here. Who then is the greatest in heaven? Is it because I've got all the degrees in the world? I've got everything that this life has offer. I have 17 mansions all down by Byron Bay. No? Peppermint Grove? Okay, Peppermint Grove, that's the WA equivalent, right? Peppermint Grove. I own Rottnest Island. Whoa. I own the Quokkas. No, you don't. Don't be silly. Who then is the greatest? In our mind, we would think those that have the status, have the qualification, those that are high in high places, the prime minister, the president, those that are up high, those that we look towards. Who knows, maybe even a movie star, who may a soccer player. Who knows, maybe even an AFL player, a cricket player, someone that's got there by their own effort. But Jesus called to them a little child, like Zion, drawing up there. And he set him in the midst of them. And he said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives this one little child like this in my name receives me. How humbling is that? How humbling is that? As a little child, you know, children are a great joy, but they can also be not so great joy. And I think parents, you can agree, there are some great days and then there are some not so great days. And I'll tell you from my own experience, when we have the not so great days, you know what I do? I actually put on the Bible. I put on the word of promise. And that just keeps on running. And then I suddenly see that not so great day becomes a great day. Because the word of God is going. And I can see like how receptive they are to it. So it's like our own mind can think of ways that we can do this. But actually God's ways are so much higher than our ways. Our thoughts, everything is so much better. And I pose a question to you parents, especially mothers. Can you remember when your children were very young and curious? When they started to talk? When they started to walk? And what a headache that would have given you. I'm going through that phase right now. In the car, Zion keeps on going, Mommy, what's that? Mommy, what's that? Mommy, what's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? And I go, thank you, Holy Spirit. You are my spirit of patience right now. And I go, oh, Zion, that is that. 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 And he goes, oh. Is that right, Zion? Oh. And it's like that. It's oh. It's not oh. It's oh. Like, oh, really, Mommy? Children's nature is to be so inquisitive. But they're so innocent, the questions they ask. And I just think about it, like, in the natural. Like, he asks so many questions. It gets very annoying at one stage. Like, I'm repeating the same answer. And I think about it in the spiritual, and I go, God, have I been asking you a lot of questions that have been very repetitive that you just go, I want to answer you, but I've already given you the answer. So why don't you go back and have a, like, really pay attention to that answer I gave you? And, you know, children come, like, with such an innocence that they're like, I don't know it, but I want to learn from you. They come in such a humble, like, humble heart that they really just say, I don't know it, but I want to learn from you. And how much so, like, for us? You know, I've been a Christian for 27 years. Okay. Well, okay. I've been in a Christian home all my life. I've been at church for 30 years. Duh. Don't worry. I do the accounts Monday to Friday. But you know, I think one of the most dangerous things is growing up as a second generation Christian. Because the children can get so complacent and so familiar with church. And that they actually piggyback their faith off their parents. But you know, it's not like that. Each and every one of us have to have our individual walk. And it's not like Zion can piggyback his faith off me. I can piggyback my faith off my parents. It's nothing like that. I need to have my own personal relationship. So I think that's like a grave warning for the young people, for the second generation. Don't piggyback off your parents. You have to experience and encounter Jesus yourself. And I grew up, like most of you know, I grew up in a Christian home, came to church, did everything, went to Sunday school, went to life group, went to prayer meeting, went to character kids. The youth one, what was that called? Champions. Church service, IBLP, like the sessions there. And in everything, when I was doing that, I was just doing it as a routine. I was doing it because my parents made me do it. But I came to a point in 2014 when actually one of my good friends passed away from a motorcycle accident. And at that point, I thought that, you know, I'm young, I'm invincible, I won't die. But that hit me like a bed of rocks that, you know, life is so fragile. And it hit me like, if I die, where am I going? And that was the time when Pastor Joseph was declaring resurrection life. And I could see that there was like, I could see like Pastor Ludwig, Dino, Grace and Adrian, you know, I could see that they had a hunger for something more. And I was just like, well, you know, the world is not offering me anything. So I want this resurrection life. I want to know this full experience of who Jesus is. And from that time on, I would say that my life has changed 180 degrees. 180 degrees. And it's truly been such a drastic change, I would say, in my life. And the thing is, I don't want to base my Christianity or my walk with God just on that. I want it to be a daily thing. And I think if we get to a point where we say, I got saved back then. I'm just going to leave it and everything else is okay. It's not really, because, you know, in the Bible it says that we are called to go unto perfection. You know, and I don't think that we could say that when we were first saved that was perfect enough. It really wasn't, because there's so much more. As Pastor Ludwig was sharing in his message a few weeks ago, there's much more. There's much more if we really want to tap into it and to experience that. So, like for me, I really say, like, Lord, much more. I want much more. Because you are such a big God. And I think at times I've limited him. And I'll 100% say that, like, you know, as we share messages, Pastor always says that it will challenge you after you share it. It challenged me yesterday, actually. So I got a good spiritual slap, and it really wakened me to really see my shortcomings. And I'll say this here, that I am still learning. I have not arrived here yet. But as Pastor says, the little that I've received, I give to you. So the little that I've received. Okay. Little. I humble myself. The little that I've received, I share. Because, you know, Pastor's heart is for each and every one of us to not stay the same. Because if you stay stagnant, you're actually going back. you need to move forward. I don't like the saying, one foot forward, two steps back. I really don't like that saying because you're really going back. You might as well say one step back. Like, duh. But it really is like such a humbling time where we go like, Lord, everything that I have tried to do, all I've done, has actually been through my own self-effort. And I really want to come to a point where I say, Lord, I humble myself because I am yours. I'm just your vessel. I'm nothing. But you are my everything, so I receive it from you. You know, number two is idolatry. And I think we've been learning about this quite a lot in our life group about, like, idolatry. You know, we worship our... You know, sometimes we think of idolatry as, like, a carved image or as a person or something, but idolatry could actually be ourselves. It actually... The biggest idolatry is ourself. Second, you'd say materialism. So Zacchaeus, he had a lot of self, I'd say. He gained everything. He profited everything from self-effort. You know, when Jesus was passing through Jericho, here was his response. It shows one that we need to also show or exhibit. He did everything he could to just get a glimpse of Jesus, just a glimpse. He was so desperate. He resorted to climbing up a sycamore tree. I don't know what a sycamore tree looks like, but if it's anything like the trees that they have in Hyde Park, that would be very, very hard to climb. And he knew that there was something different about Jesus. What was this difference? And he only wanted to see him. It was just like the lady with the issue of blood. She said, if only I touch the hem of his garment. If only I touch. Zacchaeus said, if only I see. You know, I don't think ever in his wildest dreams he would have thought that Jesus would know him, let alone want to dine with him. He said, today. If Jesus was walking past and he... And you were up in that sycamore tree and he said, today I come to your house. What would you do? First thought, I'll give you my first thought. Ayo, I got a big bouncy castle in my dining room. What am I supposed to do? Because my cousin gave Zion a big bouncy castle. It fits in the living room. My first thought would be, ayo, I need to clean this. I need to clean this. I don't have any food. Oh, pressure cook can, but only like 30 minutes. Ayo, and then what happened here? And then I need to clean here. Ayo, the toilet. Ayo. But you know what Zacchaeus did? He just jumped straight down. Okay, he made haste and came down. And he just did it immediately. But I think if we were in that situation, a lot of our mind would be running about what we need to do, what we need to do, what we need to do, what we need to do. It would be like a Mary and a Martha situation. And, you know, one of the main focuses that we've been studying with Pastor is that we actually have a lot of self in us. We have a lot of our self. And this is actually the main hindrance that is blocking why we don't see God work, because we think we're better. And we're basically blocking him. We're like, block, block. And, you know, self-preference, my expectations, my right. You know, I'm a mother. Today my children must come and celebrate with me. I didn't get a text from them this morning. Naughty, naughty, naughty. It's my expectation. My expectation, my right. I gave birth to them. I gave birth to them. I can also, I gave them life. I can also take it away. No, you can't. No, you can't. The only one that gave them life was God. And you can't take away their life. But, you know, I think a lot of the times for myself is like we have a lot of expectations that we think people should be doing for us. And that is one of the major hindrances that we see that God is, that we're really not like allowing God to work in us because of our expectations, my rights, my this, my that. And, oops. You know, in Revelation 21, verse 8, it says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What a great warning. It says idolaters in there. It says liars in there. And like sometimes we, like the rest, even unbelieving, if we don't believe, we'll be there. You know, we can't do this by ourselves. And we need the help of someone, and that someone is the Holy Spirit. You know the Holy Spirit, once you receive Jesus into your life, the next thing you need to do is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptized by water, and it says, It says in Hebrews, baptisms, which means baptism in water and baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, because if we don't receive that, we will just be where we are. We won't go higher. We won't go more. And, you know, our desire should be to go more, to go further. Like, I think in the natural, like, when you work, I mean, one of the things is you want to go higher. You want to get a promotion, right? But how much more so in the spiritual that we want to go higher, we want to go further. And, you know, like, if we really have this true awakening that a holy God lives inside of us, we would be so conscious of what we do every day. We would be so conscious. And I tell you again, I'm still learning, and I have my shortfalls. But, you know, I'm so grateful for God's mercy. It says his mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. And that's what I've been sharing with the boys. I've been saying, you know, God's mercies are new every morning. And I've been sharing to them, you know, that heaven is our home. This earth is nothing. And I was describing to Zion lately, you know, heaven is so great. And I said, you will have no more ow-ow. You will need no more Band-Aids. I said, you will never cough. You'll never have a fever. You never have, you know, oh, cry, I'm tired, mommy. I'm so tired. No more whining. But, you know, and then I said, you have everything. Everything there is good. And I was telling him as well about the streets of gold that are so clear. Could you imagine that? I can't even imagine that. Streets of gold. So it's really like, where do we want to end up? You know, I think a lot of times we don't want to think about death. And I'll be 100%. Oh, 100%, like, here, I don't like the word death. But you know what? Since I've had this, like, greater revelation that heaven is our home, we're just passing through this earth, I said, yeah, you know what? I wouldn't mind dying. Like, in your time, Lord, don't kill me right now. Don't strike me now with, like, lightning or something. But, you know, there's something so much better than this earth has to offer. This earth is a broken earth. This earth is nothing. But when we get to heaven, we can rejoice. And, you know, Pastor Jack was saying, you know, don't worry if you can't sing in tune, because in heaven, because here, like, no, don't worry about it. You know, you're worshiping God. You're not worshiping, like, Pastor Ludwig as the worship leader. You're not worshiping me or whatever. You know, you're worshiping God. And God doesn't mind if you're tone deaf. You know, because he created you that way. That's fine. And if you have a good voice, even better. Sing louder. Sing a little louder. You know, there's a song that says, sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. And how great is it that when we get to heaven, we will be singing and praising God 24/7. So I think if you haven't cultivated a heart that is worshiping God here, you better start doing it, because we'll be doing it 24/7, whether you like it or not. Amen? Number three, worldliness. This one hit me really, really hard. Are you satisfied with what you have in this world? Do you treasure things of this world more than God and his word? What are you spending the majority of your day doing? You know, Zacchaeus had all the desires of his heart in the material sense, but he had an emptiness that no material thing could fill. You know, you can buy friends, but those friends will leave very promptly once you have no more money. You know, you can buy all the houses in the world, but, you know, like, even in Proverbs it says, but even, you know, the spiders and the cockroaches, they will be in there. And, you know, I'll share this with you. As young parents, even when I had Zion in my womb, you know, I was already looking up schooling, places that I would put him to school. I looked up our nearest public high school, and I said, oh, okay, so Zion is going to be born this year, so he'll go to kindergarten in this year, and then this year he'll be in da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, oh, how much is the school fees? Oh, how much is the uniform? You know, he hasn't even popped out yet, and I'm thinking about all of these things. And, you know, it was actually a great, 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 great warning that, you know, we are in this world and we can so easily be caught up in the things of this world. And the parents' intention is always the best for their children. But you know whose is even better? God's. God has the whole world in his hands. You know, Zion's been singing that song lately. He's got the whole world in his hands. And do we really believe that he has the whole world in his hands? And you know, like some of my friends, they have young kids, and they're like, oh, I'm going to buy in the Ross Moyne zone. I'm going to buy in the Willerton zone. I'm going to buy in the Applecross zone. Okay, yeah. I was like, your kid's not even one. Like, seriously? But you know, like how easy it is to be sucked into that. That, you know, we have our children's best intentions, but sometimes we think our own way and we don't actually consult God over it. And we do things by our own strength or our thumb man. I love watching Uncle Hawk's expression for that. No, that's the best. You just go up to him and say, our thumb man. You know, we use our soul power, soul effort. And I'm so, so grateful. And, you know, Dino and I actually discussed, I think it was like our first date. We said, oh, so like when we have kids, are we going to homeschool them or are we going to put them in school? We said, never homeschool, ba, ba, ba. But we are homeschooling. So, you know, God has better plans. And, you know, it's all thanks to our senior pastors. And them really having a heart for the next generation and really making sure that the next generation make it. And Pastor Machen has said many times, don't have children unless you know they're going to make it. And, you know, that has been ringing on our hearts as well. And, you know, we've been thinking as well, like, all you need is one person. All you need is one person totally yielded, like Catherine Kuhlman, you know, Charles Spurgeon, you know, all the reformers, Charles Finney. You only need one person. And I was talking to Dino because I was listening to some messages from Billy Graham. And I said, you know, do we actually have a Billy Graham of this generation? And he just prophetically said, Zion will be the next Billy Graham of this generation. And I went, I was like shocked for a moment. But I said, wow, like, yeah, why not? Like, what is hindering him from doing that? It would only be our outer man. It would only be us as parents, whether we don't really submit to God and the authorities that have been put by God, which is our pastors and also Pastor Ludwig. Pastor Ludwig has been teaching Zion 3 days a week, and I cannot imagine the amount of patience that he has because I don't think Pastor Ludwig would be like, okay, let's put on the word right now for like 2-3 hours. He is actively hands-on. And praise God for such a young pastor that really has given his life. You know, I think we don't say it enough, but how grateful and how good is it that we have a God that looks after this church to have the next generation. And I think we really need to give God glory for the call over Pastor Ludwig's life. Because, and he also accepted it. He could have said, nah, my outer man said no. But he said yes. And we have so much to receive from him. You know, don't limit God as to age. You know, a lot of you might have probably taught me in Sunday school. And you would know that I was not a good kid in Sunday school. I was terrible. Even I remember I was not a great kid. I remember when we were in Lon Reagan, we were running up the tables. I hear a yes. So it's confirmed. And if God can change a running up girl on the tables to have a heart that really pleases God, how much more so you? How much more so you? And I remember as a kid as well, I used to always sleep during the messages. I'm very strategic, you know. Have worship, Ken. And then we got the message, sleep. And then in Jesus' name, amen, hallelujah, I'm awake, let's go for hospitality. I remember. And I think that's where we get to, like, a warning for parents, like, to not train your kids in the familiarity of church. It must be a new experience. Every week, it must be new. And that's something that we're trying to instill on our boys. You know, we haven't got there yet, but only by the grace and the mercy of the Lord, you know, we'll get there. We'll get there. But we have our shortcomings because we are from a fallen nature, but he is not fallen. So Matthew 16:24-26, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" And it says, that's supposed to be 26. "For what profit is it to the man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" I think it's quite humbling. I don't think I need to explain any further. Just let Holy Spirit work on your heart on that. Mark 8:34-38. "When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So humbling, isn't it? I think it's really humbling. 1 John 2, verses 15 to 16. "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." So what's the answer? Jesus. It's Jesus. It's so simple. It's Jesus. And Jesus is saying, he's urgently calling you today. He's saying, don't hold off anymore. You know, he knows your name. He knows how many hairs you have. He knows how many white hairs you have from your children. But he knows it all. He knows when you're going to lose your hair. He knows when you're going to not lose your hair. He knows everything about you. What? It's true. I mean, if you shave off your hair, then you do it in your own strength. But he still knows that you're going to shave your hair. Jesus, he knows all things. And he knows what you need today. No amount of money, possessions, family can fill the void in your heart. Just like Zacchaeus, you need to turn your heart over to Jesus. And that's when you will find joy, peace, and love that you've been longing for. And on this Mother's Day, it's a solemn warning that no one or anything should ever give you reassurance, but only Jesus. You know, Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." It's saying, I give you this warning right now. Don't go home and ponder over the message. Oh, yeah, Amy, very good. Oh, very funny. Ha, ha, ha. Auto man. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Uncle Hawk. Auto man. Ha, 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 ha. Don't do that. If you want to make a decision, do it now. Because 11:30 is not guaranteed. 11:23 is not guaranteed. Make a decision today. Make a decision today. Hebrews 3 verse 7 to 8 says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will harden his voice," if you hear his voice, thank you. I'm just making sure you're awake. See, I'm making sure. Yeah, thank you. "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness." Don't use your rational mind to reason your way to Jesus. They'll never work. You'll fail. Plain and simple, you'll fail. You need to take an act of faith. And faith is of the unseen spiritual world. You know, it says faith is the substance of things not hoped for, things not yet seen. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." And you know, 1 John 1:8-2:2, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But my little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So I urge you today, make a decision, whether it be to fully give your life over to him or to rededicate your life back to him. Come, just as Zacchaeus did, in full repentance, turning away from everything he ever had. You know, this last picture, we all know what it is. What is it? What is it? What is it? It's the cross. It's not a trick question, everyone. It's the cross. And there's only one message that can change people's lives and hearts. And there is a way if you come by the way of the cross. You know, the meaning of the cross is the real cross of Christ. It's not the little cross that we have as a necklace. It's not the little symbol that we have in our house or anything. It's the real cross of Christ. Was his scarred and blood-stained. It was a rugged cross. He loves you, and he's willing to forgive you of all your sins. You know, you are an object of God's mighty love. You have your needs, and you're all from different backgrounds. No one here is from the same background or anything. He gave his only begotten son to die upon a cross. And the cross was the most terrible form of execution by the Romans for criminals. And Jesus endured all of that in our place because of our sins. And we deserve the cross. We deserve hell. We deserve judgment and all that. Pause for effect. The cross is offensive because it directly confronts the evils which dominate so much of this world. The Bible says that all of us are wrong. We've all gone astray. And with everyone turned to his own way in Isaiah 53:6. And when we turn to our own way, we go astray from God's way. And that includes the whole human race. And that's why the world is in such terrible danger right now. Our minds have been affected by sin. They have been distorted. Sin is a disease of the human heart. It affects the mind, the will, and the emotions. Every part of our being is affected by this disease. So how can we break this bondage? How can we be set free? On that cross, Christ made atonement. He reconciled us to God. On that cross, God was laying on Jesus our sins before they put nails in his hands. They scourged him with whips and pellets on those whips, and they beat him to the point of death. And then they took the cross, and they made him carry that cross, which in his weakened condition was almost impossible. The real suffering was not the nails in his hands, but when he cried out, my God, why have thou forsaken me? In that terrible moment, he and God the Father were separated. He shed his blood, which carries in it God's very life. Jesus Christ, the greatest person that ever lived, the holiest person that ever lived, the Son of the living God, became sin. He had never known sin, and he became guilty at that moment of adultery, lying, idolatry of every ugly, dirty thing we can ever think of, because it was for our sins that were poured out on him. Jesus took it on the cross, and he shed his blood for us. And he was shedding his blood, his life, the life of Christ. The cross and the resurrection of Christ offers forgiveness of sins. It offers a whole new life and offers you eternal life. If you come to the cross by repentance and faith, there is no other way of salvation except through the cross of Christ. You know, on this Mother's Day, I want to give you the opportunity. If Holy Spirit is really speaking to you and convicting you today, and you say, Lord, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. I'm sorry for doing it my own way. Your way is better. So it's either you want to give God your all or you want to rededicate it back to him. I just want to open up the floor here And you come down and you make your own commitment to him. I'm not going to lead you, because then that would be me leading you. I want you to make that commitment. And, you know, even as we have the worship team, just come up. We're going to sing this song. I want to open up the floor today. Mothers, the greatest thing you can do today is to give God your all, is to rededicate it back to him. And you know, what an example that will be to your children, what an example that will be to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren, to everyone that looks to you. I'm sure you all thought that this would be a happy-go-lucky, la-la-la-la-la message. But this is really what's been speaking to me. A heart that pleases God. A heart that will humble himself. A heart that puts full assurance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as the worship team just sings this, plays it, I open up the floor to you. And we say, Holy Spirit, you are moving. We don't want to harden our hearts today, but we want to open up our hearts. Because today, Holy Spirit, you are speaking. We can't do it in our own strength. But we come at the foot of the cross. So Lord, we offer it back. Offer our lives back to you. This life is not ours. We are just merely vessels. We're sorry for the times that we have blocked you by using our own self, by using our own rational thinking. But that's not what you desire. A broken and a contrite spirit you will not despise. So search our hearts today, Lord. Search us, Lord.